It is 8:30, and it's time for the Arts File. Here's Karen Olin. What you got today?
Well, we've got drinking, gunplay, infidelity, crime, hypocrisy. The movies of the early 1930s were rife with salacious characters and shady situations. But by 1934, Hollywood found itself at a storytelling crossroads. The studios began enforcing the so-called Hays Code. That was a list of do's and don'ts for filmmakers and screenwriters. Those included a ban on portraying sex outside of marriage, on heroic criminals, and on the portrayal of authority figures as anything other than squeaky clean. The Film Forum in Lower Manhattan has brought back 50 pre-code films like The Gold Diggers of 1933, The Maltese Falcon, and the original Scarface in a summer series called Essential Pre-Code. Joining us now is film historian and critic Jamie Christley. Hey, Jamie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
So you call the period from 1930 to 34 one of the most fertile creative periods in cinema history. What makes the pre-code era so rich?
Oh, boy, it's that's a complex question because there's a lot. The 50 films of the series, they only really hint at what's going on in that dime period. And part of it has to do with that lurid content that you were talking about just now. But part of the fact, part of it was the fact that so many filmmakers were just, they were really at their prime.
Mm-hmm.
Across Europe and South America and so forth. Now, what's going on is there's a big movement where there's the Great Depression.
Right.
So movie studios are doing whatever they can to get people in the seats.
Exactly.
And they're using that content, you know, and they're making movies. I wouldn't say they're making movies cheaply, but they're making a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have like a half dozen movies in a year that are pretty much the same thing.
Right.
And they're just like a gunplay and crime and wife swapping and all this kind of stuff. But you also have, from a technical level, the sound of film is still fairly new.
Right.
And in a very short span of time, it's going from very primitive sound to highly, highly technically polished and aesthetically polished sound.
So people want to have a hand in crafting this as the art form goes forward.
Mm.
So let's talk a little bit more about the code.
Mm.
Officials from the U.S. Catholic Church had a heavy but pretty silent hand in its creation. The code went into effect in 1930, but it wasn't really enforced until about 1934. What happened there?
Well, what was going on is during that four-year span that covers this series,
mm-hmm.
The Hays Code was... It was there, okay, but nobody was. It was being flaunted. Now the problem was that it was being censored at the script stage. So all these scripts had to pass through one office in Hollywood, and it created a bottleneck such that big studio executives were writing furious memos saying, "You've got to pick up the pace. We've got to get these movies out there." And remember, there's a lot of movies being made, a lot more than there are like per studio per
sure.
year than today. But eventually, the Catholic Church was, you know, and a lot of other moral bodies were saying, this is not working. We need to step it up a little bit. And they said, and they're at congregations, a priest at mass were having the congregation do this renunciation of sin. And, you know, and you're going to give up drinking and gambling.
Right.
And a sinful medium of the movies, the moving pictures.
It was all about just portraying the human condition in the best possible light. Bad people got punished, good people got rewarded.
Yes, that's one of the aspects, yes.
Let's talk about some of the must-see films in the series. And
certainly.
What makes them so good?
I mean, one of the things is that, you know, on a base level, they're very exciting because of the lurid content. But also you have some of the great auteurs who were either in the middle of their career or at the start of their career.
Like who?
Oh, you have Raoul Walsh, you have John Ford, Fritz Lang, Jean Renoir, Yasujirō Ozu. Let me stick to the series.
Busby Berkeley,
Von Sternberg,
Oh, wow.
William Wellman. You even have filmmakers who afterwards were not making very good films. They're kind of so-so directors, mm-hmm. like Mervyn LeRoy. And he made a couple of really good movies like The Gold Diggers of 1933.
Right.
And 2 Seconds with Edward G. Robinson.
What in the time we have left, what are some of the must-see films?
Well, I made a list of five so
okay.
that if you out there, you don't have time to see a lot, just write these down real quick so that you can just make a point to see them. Number one is Blonde Venus, de Sternberg and Dietrich. Mm-hmm. There's Trouble in Paradise, the Lubitsch, which plays a lot, but you know, any excuse to see it is a good one. Ruben Mamoulian's Love Me Tonight, one of the great and underrated musicals of all time. There's two by Raoul Walsh, The Bowery and Me and My Gal. These are must-see films. And finally, I had a trouble finding a spot for number five, so I gave it to The Public Enemy.
Very good. Jamie, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie Crisley wrote about Essential Pre-Code for Slant Magazine. The film series at the Film Forum runs through August 11th. We'll leave you with a little bit of We're in the Money from the Gold Diggers of 1933. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's today's Arts File on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.
When we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money. Come on, honey. Let's land it better.